This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu and you're listening to Raise Your Game. In this day and age, we are inundated with success stories from around the world. Mukul Deva, a life coach and mentor, has not only compiled 50 success stories in his latest book called Make Success a Habit, but also has questions and action tips at the end of each story so that everyone can be empowered and make success a habit. So today's Raise Your Game, the show about personal and professional development, I'll be speaking to him about his book and the lessons in it. So what inspired you to write this book, Mukul, and why 50 stories?
Thank you so much, Freda. Firstly, thank you so much for having me on. And that's a great question. What inspired me to write this book? And there are two points I wish to make. Firstly, I'm a writer. I mean, I write a book every year. Mostly I do thrillers, but I thought that there was a really good space for this book. And the reason I'm saying that, because I believe that people are limitless, that we can do whatever we wish to.
Okay.
Unfortunately, some of us lose sight of this. So I, while I coach and I mentor, and I do that across the world, I meet people, very simple people like you and me, but they have such amazing stories of how they manage to overcome challenges, seize opportunities by taking very simple action. Every time I came across a story like that, I would capture it. By now, I have over 1,000.
Right.
And I would have put all of them in a book, but my publisher wouldn't have liked that, right?
Right. So this is very interesting. So you write thrillers, and this is a move away from thrillers.
Absolutely. Out of the 16 I've written, 12 are thrillers.
Right.
One is historical, one is on women in Indian cinema, and 2 self-help books, 1 business book.
Wow. Okay. Now, you were saying you've got 1,000 of these stories. How do you decide which 50 got into that book?
What I did was I took a kind of a theme on how to bring these stories to life, and I put that together. The theme focused on 1, understanding your strengths, and 2, understanding how you can take small actions to overcome your so-called development areas.
Right.
And that's what I used to pick these 50. The others you will see very shortly coming out in a sequel, which is called Follow the Shade.
Okay, you got 1,000 stories worth of sequels.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to talk about a few of the stories of the book. This is one in the director who lost her voice. This is a director, upon temporarily losing her voice, was able to listen to suggestions and ideas of a team during a meeting because she remained quiet most of the time. How important are good listening skills for success?
Oh, actually, Frida, that's a great question. And the short answer is that any human being in any job, personal or professional setting, who seeks to be relevant and effective, all they need to do is start listening.
Right.
It's not knowledge of anything, because I will never know everything about a subject. But when I listen to other people, I will know what is important to them, and I will know what are the right questions to ask to move in the right direction. So for me, communication, the word communication is 60 to 70% listening, 20% asking the right questions, and then the last is to put everything together neatly in your mind and be ready to act on it.
Okay. There are lots of gems in your book. There are also 2 stories, the public relations officer and 2 irritating journalists. and the manager who did not like emotionally fraught situations. And that talks about controlling and managing emotions. So the first story is about that, and then so that you respond instead of reacting, right? Second story talks about expressing your positive emotions freely and your negative emotions mindfully, especially in an emotionally fraught situation. So, you know, tell us about the thinking in controlling your emotions, and how does that affect a person's success?
Right. Okay. So what happens is that your reaction comes from your limbic brain, which is a system 1 response. Right? I say something nasty to you, and if you fire back immediately, you have reacted to me.
Right. If I slapped you, that would have been an immediate reaction.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, whatever happens the minute I say something to you is a reaction, because it has come from your limbic brain, and your limbic brain only understands 2 things. Fight or flight.
Right.
Right. Now, what happens is, if you give yourself about 7 to 11, maybe 12 seconds, then your intellect catches up with your emotions. Right? And you're able to neutralize the initial surge of emotion, and you're able to actually say something which is constructive. You know, I hear this from a lot of people that feedback need not be only positive. It can be negative too. Actually, feedback is neither positive or negative. Right. It just is. It's the way we communicate it which makes it positive or negative. Okay. I can give you very directive feedback on what you're doing wrong without using the word wrong. And by doing that, I will make you receptive to what I'm saying.
Right.
Right? So it's not the message. It's the way the message is delivered, which people resist.
Okay. And
so
we
that
are,
kind of answers your second question. Right.
And we're emotional beings. That's the thing.
Absolutely. Right. Human beings are feeling creatures who think. Not thinking creatures who feel.
Right. Okay. What? Now, another one, two stories here. The man who wanted a divorce and another man who wanted a divorce. you talk about how to handle difficult relationships with people and also to keep our relationships with people positive by attaching a positive word to the people in our lives. But what if a professional business relationship, a personal relationship just cannot work no matter how hard people try? How would you advise a person in handling a toxic relationship?
That's, again, a great question. And here, I just want to redirect the question a little bit. You know, the situation, the person is never a problem. If I see, let's say you and me are colleagues, right? Mm. And we are having a problematic relationship. It's because neither one of us sees the value of having a positive relationship. We don't believe that the value justifies the effort.
Right.
Right? Mm. Let's say if our relationship was not professional but personal and it was for the longer haul, then we would both seek to find a way out of the impasse. Mm. Is the relationship more important than the cause? Then you will put the relationship first and you will address the situation like that. A lot of us make the mistake, Frida, of going down this either or situation. Either I damage the relationship or I learn to live with the negativity.
I see.
But that's not really true. We can slide on that scale very effortlessly the minute we see the value.
Okay. So it's just moving up and down the scale. It's not an either or. Oh, very, very interesting perspective here.
Isn't that what you do with, let's say, your children?
Right.
There's none of us in the world who can claim to have a perennially harmonious relationship with their children, right?
Right, and we can't get rid of them.
Yeah, I mean, children were designed to make us remember how horrible we were when we were kids.
Right.
So the simpler way to look at it is that we are shifting on that scale of either or from 0 to 10 every single day when we see the value of doing it.
Right. We'll talk more about the other stories in the book in just a moment. I'm here with Mukul Deva talking about his book, Make Success a Habit. You're listening to Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is Raise Your Game. Good morning. I'm Frida Liu. I'm here with Mukul Deva, a life coach and mentor. We're talking about his book, Make Success a Habit, where he compiled over 50 success stories. He's got 1,000 of them, so we're looking forward to more sequels. But what we've been talking about is the many stories that he's featured in there, very interesting ones. But let's talk about the other ones. There's a story here, the director who replaced an extrovert. And this is about a newly promoted person who found it hard to fill in the shoes of his predecessor, who was an extrovert, to lead his new team. You know, so there are these expectations, right? Do you think there's a difference in the way extroverts and introverts approach or achieve success?
Of course there is, Frida. I personally believe that introverts have an advantage when it comes to most things in life. I mean, I myself am a very deep-dyed introvert. Unfortunately, my job, I'm a public speaker, I'm a keynote speaker, I facilitate leadership workshops, I coach, I mentor. My job needs me to demonstrate extroverted behavior.
Right.
And with a very little bit of practice, I'm able to do that. But the advantage I get of being an introvert is that I am much more patient and better at listening. you know.
Okay.
So for example, do you know that one of the best questions you can ask is silence? If I just learn to hold my peace for that additional 5 to 10 seconds, I am likely to give you a space for you to share more of what's important to you. And thereby, if I'm your leader, I'm able to leverage the situation far more effectively.
Okay. All right.
So that's how I see it.
Okay. Now, there was another story. The manager who did not mix personal and professional. She's a successful career lady, and she believes that the personal and professional life should be completely separate, right? I don't know if this is still possible in this day and age, but or whether it's advised. But on this note, where do you think the line should be drawn between personal and professional lives with the people you work with?
Right. And to answer this question, Frida, I'm going to take you back to the time when I was in the army. And, you know, we were told that as an army officer, you never should need to remember that you're senior, and your men should never need to remember that you are their senior.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm close enough to them, yet they know when to draw the line between the work and the personal relationships. So just because you're my boss and we hang out once or twice a week for lunch or dinner or whatever because of work circumstances doesn't make you my friend. I can never forget that you're my boss. And then when you say something, I should know how to differentiate whether it's a friendly suggestion or it's a command.
How?
How is... You have to, it's again like balancing the scale, right?
Right.
I need to be very clear about the messaging I'm giving. If I'm delivering a hard conversation, I will call you to my office and I will, my body language, the choice of my words, the eye contact, everything will be a little harder if I'm in the command mode. Right? But if I'm in the friendly mode, then I will make the space and the place for you, and the topics we talk about will be different from when I'm in the leader mode. And over a period of time, when you do this often enough, you learn to get a sense of how far do you allow the relationship to be pushed with different people. Frida, in no situation can I only have a transactional relationship with you.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. There has to be some relationship there for us to move transactions effectively. So again, it's a either or. On the one end of the scale is relational, and the other end of the scale is transactional. I have to slide up and down that scale depending on the person I'm dealing with, the gender of the person I'm dealing with, the cultural sensitivities, and of course my professional relationship with that person. Right? What may be acceptable in a particular culture with a particular gender may not be acceptable in another situation or setting. So we have to use our judgment and slide on the scale of how relational the thing is and how transactional it is. And we learn to do it by just practicing it. What can go wrong, really?
Okay. Okay, there's one chapter. The director who had no problems at work. Really? Tell us that story.
Okay. And the crux of the story is very beautiful, right? This lady who kept talking to me about, every time we met for a coaching session, she would talk to me about one of her children. And she had four. So we had three sessions of three children. And in the fourth session, I mean, you know, I love children, especially when they're not mine.
Yeah.
But I had kind of been tapped out on kids. So I asked her, I said, don't you have a problem at work? And she said, no. And that surprised me because she has a huge place with 72 people reporting into her, not directly, I mean, through her direct report. But it's a very high visibility, high profitability impact. And I was very surprised. So I said, okay, can you write down your top 10 achievements?
Okay.
And she did. Then I asked her in front of each achievement, can you write down the leadership quality or the managerial trait which you are using to make these achievements happen? Now, this she took a little longer, but she did. And when she finished it and I asked her, I said, can you again take a deeper look at the leadership qualities and the managerial skills and help me understand, is there anything missing here that an inspiring leader or an effective leader needs to have and doesn't, is not there? She looked at it and she said, well, aga, everything is there. I mean, broadly speaking,
okay.
Everything is there.
Right.
Right? So I said, great. Then she said, and why did we do this? I said, oh, I was very curious to find out how is it that a person who has no problems at work and has all these leadership skills and managerial qualities cannot handle four little people at home. Right? And she was very irritated, Frida. I can't tell you the expression on her face. She said, Mukul, don't be stupid. You don't understand. I said, what don't I understand? She said, it's different. The 72 people in my office, I don't love them, but I love my kids at home. So I said, so you mean to tell me you're holding the best of yourself back from the people you love the most? It's amazing what happened next. She said, I'm not going to meet you next month. I need more time. I said, take more time. When we finally met after, I forget now, but 3 or 4 months, she had learned to map whatever was working well at work and applied it at home. Performance incentives, performance bonus, you know, everything had been applied. All the policies, right?
Right.
And she was herself amazed at the results. And the reason I put this story in the book, because I thought this was one of the more powerful ones. You see, Frida, I want you to look inside your mind. If there's any problem you are facing, the question you should ask yourself is, have I solved this problem in some other area of my life? Most people don't realize that a problem they face at home may have been solved by them at work, right? They need to find out what worked well and calibrate it to the other situation to solve that situation.
That is deep, Mukul. That's deep. Now, now we have talked about...
Can I take one moment more on that one, Frida? Okay, so there was another lady who told me, I want to be more decisive. And the funny thing is, that when she had been talking about herself, she had 2 kids and a husband, and she was managing all 3 of them very decisively at home. Which house to buy, which school two children will study in, what they will study. Every decision was taken by her. But at work, she believed she wasn't decisive enough. So when I pointed out the discrepancy to her, she was very perplexed and amused. And do you know that she solved the problem on her own after that?
It's like when when an individual gets to the aha moment in themselves.
Yes, she never told me what she did on how. She never discussed it further. She just laughed and looked at me and said, interesting viewpoint. And then she never brought it up again till I asked her right at the end of our engagement. I asked her, of our coaching engagement, I asked her, so is that problem solved? She said, yeah, I took care of it.
She made some decisions. Now, you know, we talked about a few success stories, all, you know, very in-depth and insightful. And in the beginning of your book, you did say your stories are not to be implied in its entirety, but to be adapted to meet specific circumstances. Is there any commonality to all the stories and the people that you featured, or each is so unique in its own?
Actually, there is. And the commonality took me by surprise when I spotted it. The reason I haven't pointed it out very obviously in the book, because I didn't want to be too prescriptive. But what I spotted was that really inspiring and effective people, A, are empathetic and put the feelings of the people around them first. Two, they are good listeners. Three, they are generally solutions focused in thinking. And just to elaborate the third point, when they hit a situation, they don't see only the good side or the bad side. They see both sides and they take action to act on both sides, mitigate the minus points and act on the positive. And the last thing I noticed, and I wonder whether you picked it up, all the people in the book demonstrated a sharp orientation for action. Because till we act, nothing will change.
Interesting that you said FIRST, right? Which is also an acronym in your book, the F-I-R-S-T, F being future ready, innovative, relevant, strategic,
relevant,
and trusted, right? So, and you feel that all of this is reflected in the 50 stories in your book.
Yes, it is. In fact, it is even reflected in the next lot which is coming. And also, this FIRST acronym is something our company has developed. This is what our leadership program is based on. We help people to become future-ready, innovative, relevant, strategic, and trusted. And by doing that, we empower their organizations to become like that.
All right.
So it's a very systematic process and it's very measurable. You can see the movement in yourself on a month-to-month basis.
Okay, this is very interesting stuff. Thanks for being with us, Mukul. I've definitely learned a lot. I've been speaking to Mukul Deva about his book, Make Success a Habit. Now, if you've missed any part of this interview, we have our app on the Apple App Store and on Google Play and also our website, bfm.my/podcast, where you can listen to and download the podcast. You've been listening to Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.